Chapter 36.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Obi-Wan shifted uneasily as Master Plo knocked on Master Dooku's door. It was nice that Master Plo had decided to accompany him, truly, but it was still nerve-wracking to meet the man that was once his Grand Master. It almost felt like he had too many now. Officially, Master Tyvaka was his Grand Master, having trained Master Plo. But Master Tara had also unofficially laid claim to him as an honorary Grand Padawan, given his closeness with Jon and Master Mace's status as his almost second master. Obi-Wan wasn't convinced he needed a third Grandmaster figure. Master Dooku hadn't been around during his Padawanship when Obi-Wan would have appreciated the support anyway. Master Qui-Gon never would have allowed that. Jon was of the opinion that Master Qui-Gon's disapproval was something of a stamp of approval, but Obi-Wan wasn't convinced. Master Qui-Gon had described Master Dooku as stern, stuffy, and utterly convinced that Makashi was the superior lightsaber form. Obi-Wan wasn't sure what benefit a Jedi Master like that would get from associating with the likes of him. He was out of time to worry about it, however, as the door in front of them opened. Master Dooku was a tall human or near-human. He had dark hair that was beginning to be overtaken by gray, and sharp, distinct features. For all that he looked the picture of refinement, robes crisp and neat, hair well-groomed, Obi-Wan couldn't help but notice that his nose was slightly crooked in the way that only someone who had broken it multiple times before could sport. Master Dooku was not all stern and stuffy refinement then, though part of Obi-Wan had already known that about one of the best duelists the Order had to offer. It was still reassuring. Master Dooku bowed first to Master Plo. "Master Koon, my thanks for facilitating this introduction." He turned to Obi-Wan next and bowed once more. "It's a pleasure to meet you, Padawan Kenobi." Caught off guard by the depth of Master Dooku's bow, Obi-Wan almost forgot to bow back. He remembered just in time. "The pleasure is all mine, Master Dooku," Obi-Wan said. He ensured that his robes fell neatly back into place and that his tone was shallowly pleasant. Master Dooku's face softened, almost imperceptibly, in a way that had Obi-Wan feeling like he'd passed a test. "Please, do come in," Master Dooku said. He waved them into his quarters with one graceful gesture. Obi-Wan stepped inside, with Master Plo close behind him. Under the pretense of looking around the space, he identified every potential exit, just in case. Master Dooku led the way to a neat tea service for three, set around a low table with cushions. Obi-Wan carefully knelt down in a mirror of the other master, hoping that he didn't look ridiculous. Obi-Wan had learned proper ways to take tea from Master Tall before her death. The woman was fascinated by other cultures and was an avid researcher. She enjoyed imparting said knowledge on him during the limited opportunities they had to spend time together. "This is important, you know," she had said, eyes twinkling as she looked somewhere to the left of his face. "If you don't learn these ceremonies well, you might end up accidentally married like Qui manages at least once a year." At the time, Obi-Wan had laughed, but now he found himself grateful for her tutelage. He'd refreshed his memory last night in his room, Jon rolling his eyes, but it meant that he recognized the arrangement of the table as distinctly Serenian, and he knew exactly how to proceed. Finally, all settled and politely sipping their tea, Master Dooku spoke. "I was not anticipating that you would have knowledge of a traditional Serenian tea ceremony, Padawan Kenobi. I am highly impressed." His voice was warm. "Yes, well," Obi-Wan smiled sheepishly. "I was informed that I should learn as many tea ceremony varieties as I could to avoid any accidental entanglements." Master Dooku laughed, short and genuinely amused. "I highly doubt it was my former Padawan sharing that nugget of wisdom," he said. "If he is anything like his Padawan days, he gets himself engaged and divorced at least every other year." Master Koon tensed just slightly, as if he expected Obi-Wan to flinch away from any mention of Master Qui-Gon. But he wasn't as fragile as all that. He certainly continued that trend, yes, Obi-Wan said. Maybe there was something in his tone, no matter how hard he tried to keep it neutral and lightly amused, but Master Dooku sobered abruptly. And continued more worrying trends besides, the master said. And then, Master Dooku surprised him again by bowing so low that his head touched the table in front of them. You have my deepest and sincerest apologies for the disservice my former Padawan has done to you. From all that I have gathered, you are a uniquely qualified and intelligent student who did not in any way deserve his treatment. Obi-Wan blinked, taken aback. He ignored the small seed of warmth in his chest, pleasure at someone apologizing for his hellish early apprenticeship. There's no need to apologize, Master Dooku. It was not your wrong, and it truly wasn't as bad as all that, he said dismissively. Master Plo was not subtle about sharing his disagreement with the Force. Master Dooku studied him for a long moment. I suspect, despite your words, that it was in fact worse, he said heavily. But I will not linger on the topic if it displeases you. I would like to get to know you, if you are amenable. You were of my lineage, and I do not believe that is a thing so easily discarded. He sounded surprisingly sincere. If there was a trap in his words, Obi-Wan couldn't see it, not yet. Under the guise of adjusting his teacup, Obi-Wan quickly scanned the exits again. He was reasonably certain Master Plo would defend him, were things to go poorly, so he might as well entertain the conversation. What would you like to know? Obi-Wan asked. Master Dooku leaned forward. To start, what is your preferred lightsaber form? If Obi-Wan didn't know better, he would say the man sounded almost eager. Obi-Wan shifted in his seat. That is actually a bit of a complicated question at the moment. Master Jin trained me primarily in Ataru, which remains my strongest form as of right now. I have recently begun learning Suresu under Knight Balaba, and I found that I might be more suited to the form overall. Obi-Wan hesitated for a long moment before taking the plunge. I tend to incorporate some limited principles of Makashi in my practice as well. My former master did not like teaching me any of the form, but he could be persuaded once or twice. Master Dooku looked delighted. A wide variety of forms, particularly for a Padawan. I'm impressed. You mentioned Makashi. When Obi-Wan nodded, the man continued, I'm always looking for ways to adapt my own style. What principles have you incorporated? And so the conversation continued. It was not unpleasant. Master Dooku was a skilled conversationalist with knowledge of an impressive array of topics. He also seemed to have a preternatural sense of when his conversation was making Obi-Wan uncomfortable and rapidly changed the subject, though perhaps that was something Master Plo's glares took care of. The topic meandered from Obi-Wan's coursework, to his opinions on a variety of political figures, to a discussion of strategy use in Djarik. Obi-Wan had limited experience actually playing Djarik, but plenty of experience strategizing on a battlefield, so it evened out, he supposed. Overall, as the door to Master Dooku's quarters closed, after one final insistence that the master was happy to give him some guidance in Makashi, Obi-Wan thought he could count the conversation as a success. Master Plo must have been able to read it off of his face, because he chuckled behind his respirator. Did you have a good time, little one? Obi-Wan thought about it, and then nodded firmly. Yes, I think so. Master Plo made an indecipherable sound before musing aloud, Master Tyvaka is going to be quite put out by Dooku's overtures, I believe. Obi-Wan frowned. He had no idea what Master Plo was insinuating, but he was sure that he was incorrect. You're carrying on as if you're about to be attacked by enemy assailants, John, Master Mace said with audible amusement. Should I be concerned? John whirled around. He had been pacing the lengths of their sitting area, trying to distract himself. So far, his attempts had been unsuccessful. No, he gritted out. But is there any Council Padawan business that's urgent, that maybe needs to take us both out of the temple? John asked hopefully. Mace's eyebrows flew upwards, and he closed the door of their quarters behind himself. No, but now I am genuinely worried. Will you sit with me, Padawan? John sighed, feeling faintly ridiculous and relieved at the same time. He He actually thought that if he offered up his worries and concerns to Mace, that it was possible his master would have an answer. He was at least certain that he wouldn't be punished for it. "Yes, master," John said, already feeling some of his tension unspooling. He followed Mace to the cushions they kept by the window, everyone in the suite's favorite place for morning meditation. His master placed two cushions across from each other and settled on one. Hesitating, John nudged the other cushion closer and sat down cross-legged. His slight alteration made it so that his knees pressed up against Mace's, soaking in his serenity. Mace looked briefly surprised and then pleased. He shared the ladder with John across the bond, and he found himself ducking his head, cheeks flushing. "What is bothering you, John? Perhaps we can meditate on it." John took a deep breath and pressed his knees more firmly into Mace's. "You'll think it's silly. Trivial." He looked everywhere on Mace's face except his eyes. Mace frowned. "If it's bothering you, my Padawan, I could hardly find such a thing trivial," his master said gently. John sighed and shifted his gaze to stare at where they touched. "Obi-Wan's other friends, his crush mates, are all back in the temple," he said finally. "He's arranged for us all to have mid-meal today in the refectory." Mace hummed. "Are you nervous that Obi-Wan will have less time for you?" John blinked, completely baffled by the idea. "No, of course not. Having more of his friends around is good for Obi-Wan," he said, looking at Mace strangely. "Quinlan is annoying, but he's made Obi-Wan happier." For some reason, Mace looked a mix of relieved and pleased. "Are you worried about meeting them?" John thought it over. "I think so," he said finally. "I'm not like other temple Padawans." Mace hummed noncommittally, clearly wanting him to elaborate on his own. "I'm younger," John decided on finally, "and I'm new to friends in general. I'm not sure how this is supposed to work." Mace let the silence hang as he thought about John's words. It was something John appreciated about his master, that he wasn't quick to offer meaningless platitudes, but actually thought about what John had to say from every angle. "I understand why you are concerned," Mace said finally, "but I think you are underestimating yourself. Though you might be younger, you get along perfectly well with Obi-Wan and even Padawan Voss. Both of those two adore you." John frowned. "They're different, though," he said. "Both of them are insane." Mace snorted. "While you aren't wrong, you should consider that the rest of Obi-Wan's friends are aware of that quality and maintained their friendships with Obi-Wan and Voss regardless. That means that you have a better chance than you think, no?" That was an angle that John hadn't thought of. If Obi-Wan's friends could put up with Voss, John couldn't be much more of a stretch. "Maybe," he settled on. Despite his lack of commitment to the answer, more of his tension unwound. Mace could clearly see that he'd won, because he smiled. "How about we meditate on it together?" his master asked. John nodded. "Yes, master." By the time John was heading to the refectory for mid-meal, he felt far more settled. He was still nervous, but he at least didn't feel like he was about to vibrate out of his skin, which was a distinct improvement. As soon as he stepped into the room, he could see Obi-Wan and Quinlan sitting at a table with four others. Like a heat-seeking missile, Obi-Wan's head jerked up and his gaze focused on John. His friend waved him over, an action which Quinlan quickly joined with exaggerated enthusiasm. Rolling his eyes, John took one more deep breath and walked over to join them. "John, there you are. I was wondering if you'd gotten lost," Obi-Wan said. His voice was teasing, but the way he tugged gently on the bond was all concern. John dismissed his concern with a wave of, "I'm fine," down their connection. "Sorry," he said quietly. "Master Mace wanted to meditate with me." He slid into the seat Obi-Wan had saved next to him at the end of the table. There was already a tray with all his favorites set down in front of him. One of the humans now sitting across from him winced dramatically. "Getting pulled into extra meditation is the worst," he said. He put out his hand for John to shake. "Garen Mulm, hehem. It's nice to meet the John Obi-Wan has been talking about nonstop since we've been back in the temple." John took the hand and shook it awkwardly. He hoped the gesture didn't look as ridiculous as it felt, like a child playing at an adult. "John Antilles, hehem. I've heard a lot about you all too," he said, a touch uncomfortably. Garen grinned at him, openly friendly in a way John hardly knew what to do with. It was different from the way Quinlan smiled, which always had at least a hint of a smirk or mischief in it. All horrible things, I hope, he said. He slung an arm around the Dresselian sitting next to him. This is Reeft, also Hehem. He's a little shy, but he'll warm up eventually, promise. Reeft sighed, resignation leaking out into the Force. Nice to meet you, he said quietly. Siri Tashi, she her, said the other human at the table. She reached over Reeft, squishing him into Garen's side, to offer her hand. Ignore these idiots, they're terrible at people, but they're good at other things. Hey, Garen said, offended. The Mon Calamari pressed against Obi-Wan's other side huffed. They leaned around Obi-Wan to wave cheerfully. And I'm Bant Eren, she her as well. Thank you for being here for Obi-Wan when the rest of us couldn't be, she said warmly. John flushed in time with Obi-Wan. Bant, his friend complained. Bant patted him full in the face. Hush, you. Quinlan laughed. Face it, Obes, you're screwed now that both Bant and John are here to fuss over you. Obi-Wan made an indecipherable sound in his throat as John made note of another ally to his cause. Getting Obi-Wan to take care of himself was enough work for an entire team of people. You didn't tell us he was so small, Garen said teasingly. He smiled at John to make sure he knew it was a joke. He's practically a baby. John started to sink down in his seat. It didn't help him appear any bigger, but maybe he could just disappear beneath the table and no one would notice. Before John had even managed to start to slide fully, Obi-Wan had him by the collar of his robes and yanked him back up. There was no escape then. John isn't a baby, Obi-Wan said, but John could hear that his heart wasn't in it. He's 12 now, and he's been a Padawan for years. John winced, already sure that wouldn't help his case. Judging by the way four sets of eyes narrowed onto his form, he was right. It was Bant that he was wariest of, considering the way she had leaned around Obi-Wan to focus on him. She looked him up and down with a judgmental glare. 12? You're far too small for a 12-year-old humanoid. Are you eating properly? John froze. Yes, he tried. But that must have been too non-committal for Bant, because she stood and scooped up Garen's tray. She started to scrape its contents half onto Obi-Wan's tray and half onto John's. Hey, Garen complained, but John noticed he didn't even attempt to stop her. You're both too skinny, Bant said, matter-of-factly. You should eat more. John felt mildly offended. He thought about saying that it was new for him, consistent and hearty meals. He hadn't even been in the temple a year yet, and Dark Woman had hardly been the type of master who was concerned about whether he was fed. But since being in the temple, John had been taking full enjoyment of three meals a day, unlike Obi-Wan. John considered laying this all out for her, and then ultimately decided it wouldn't help his case. He simply picked up his fork and began to shovel down the extra food while Obi-Wan and Bant bickered next to him. Quinlan tried to steal a dumpling, and John almost managed to stab him during the attempt, which set off a round of laughter that never quite faded away. When no one was looking, John smiled to himself. This hadn't been too bad after all. Maybe Mace was right. End of chapter 36.